Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Good morning, beautiful people. Welcome to my channel, which focuses on Vedic astrology study from the perspective of your soul path, career, and relationships. These are the focus areas of this channel. If you're new to my channel, please consider sharing the content with your fellow astrology enthusiasts, leaving your comments below in case you need to share anything interesting you found in your chart, etc. If you are my listener on the podcast directories like Spotify, Apple, Podcast Addict, Pandora, and so on, welcome. Also, you might want to visit my YouTube channel, take screenshots of the chart displayed there so you can study alongside the chart, natal, navamsha, D10, and so on and so forth. Also, for those listening on the podcast directory, you might want to take advantage of the Vedic Astrology Beginners course, which is available in the memberships area as a playlist on my channel. YouTube link is in the description box. You might want to visit that and take advantage of that. That is not being covered on the podcast directory. If you need a personal reading, do get in touch with me on the email, both on the podcast directory as well as on YouTube channel, and we can explore what's going on in your life and what you need some assistance or clarity with. You see, the entire purpose, as I see it, of Jyotish and Vedic astrology is to get clarity in your mind about what's going on in different areas of your life, what your soul path is driving you towards in this lifetime, and where you can put yourself, apply yourself to the best possible outcomes, be it in any area of life. We all have different areas of life. Primarily, I focus on soul path, your life path, profession, career, job, business, etc., as well as intimate relationships. And all the podcasts here cover pretty much personality, relationships, and career as the determinants of how you want to engage with the rest of the world. We all are born in some way, some form, in different societies. The whole idea is to best put yourself at use where you are happy doing what you're doing, you're content doing what you're doing, and you feel your life has a meaning and a purpose somewhere. We are just trying to unlock that using the tools of Vedic astrology. Now that we have finished studying the Amartya Karaka in different Navamsha, the 12 of them, let us do some career case studies for Amartya Karaka, because unless we do some case studies, unless we implement and study the Amartya Karaka from the perspective of charts, actual charts or virtual charts, we won't know how it is applied or what it really means, isn't it? It's like trying to understand physics without applying it in a lab. You have to test this out on charts. As much charts as you can get your hands on, practice these principles. If you have queries, you can leave it as comments in the comment box. But please take time to understand these principles first. All the series on Amartya Karaka and in Navamsha playlist uncover all of that first. Study the basic principles and then come to this career case studies. Right, let's get into it. What are the six principles or six aspects I have taken into consideration in career case studies of Amartya Karaka? Number one, we are going to study Amartya Karaka in D1 and D9 charts. Both, that is to say your natal as well as your Navamsha chart, we shall study how the position of Amartya Karaka goes. Number two, we shall study the relations to the Atmakaraka in both, your soul significator, yourself, Atmakaraka. And podcasts are already covered on Atmakaraka. You might want to go through that. What is your soul relationship with your profession? Is it helping? Is there someone helping in your profession? Atmakaraka and Amatyakaraka relationship in both D1 and D9 also we shall cover. Number 3, the placement in houses and signs in both natal as well as Navamsha charts. That will also be covered. Because where the houses are playing in the natal and where it moves to in Navamsha is significant, isn't it? And also the sign, because the qualities of the sign carries to both Atmakaraka and Amatyakaraka. Number 4, types, progress, challenges and successes in career, because we are focusing in these career case studies only. So we will deal with focal point as Amatyakaraka and we will study Atmakaraka with respect to Amatyakaraka. Alright. Number 5, we will also try to borrow some hints from nakshatra placement of Amatyakaraka in the natal chart, because that's the physical manifestation. Yes, I already spoke of this. You might want to go through previous ones. Natal chart is your physical manifestation of reality. Navamsha is your internal self and all things going forward in your life. Essentially, when a soul is born, the way we apply Vedic astrology is from birth till the time you're 30 years old, till the time Saturn matures in a chart. What happens is you are acting more like only the physical manifestation, because you are pretty much in the hands of others. After 30 years, really it matures and then the aspects of Navamsha kick in. So Navamsha literally is going forward in your life, the fortunes of your life. Yeah, this is the way also it is interpreted. So we shall try to borrow some nakshatra placement of Amatyakaraka in the natal chart also. Now, nakshatras are already covered extensively in the 27 nakshatras of Vedic astrology playlist. Number 6, and very important point, I needed some charts to study here as a part of this exercise. And so what I have done is I have considered case studies. This entire case studies is for Gen Z, just like I did for Nakshatrapada. Gen Z meaning 1998 onwards, who are born from 1998 onwards. Yes, you can Google it if you want. All case studies are of Gen Z kids. Names are all virtual, really. I have just stuck in virtual names. Names don't mean anything. They are random charts of Gen Z generation starting from the year 2000 for Amatyakaraka. Let us begin. Before we begin the actual case studies, it is important for you to remember some rules in the Jaimini system of evaluation in astrology, which is very different to the Parashara system. Jaimini, first of all, focuses on Rashi Drishti, that means the sign aspects. Which sign is aspecting which sign? Aries is aspecting Leo, for example, like that. The sign aspects, these are not planetary aspects, which sign aspects it. So let's go through these 8 rules listed there on the screen. Number 1, Rashi Drishti. Every movable sign aspects all fixed signs except the one right next to it. Keep this rule book in your thing. You can take screenshots if you wish. Every fixed sign aspects all movable signs except the one right next to it. So, movable aspects fixed except the one next to it. Fixed aspects all movable except the one next to it. Every dual sign aspects all other dual signs only. Okay. Then there is the Graha Drishti, that is a planetary vision. The planetary vision says Jaimini primarily uses Rashi Drishti, but planets inherit the aspect of the sign they sit in. So planets sitting in movable sign will aspect all other planets which are in fixed signs except the one next to it. Apply the same principle to all the first three rules. So planets essentially sitting in movable, fixed or dual sign, because Jaimini is based only on sign astrology, not so much on planets. Planets will automatically inherit everything about the sign. This applies to all planets, including Rahu and Ketu. So as we shall see going further into the case studies, you will see that sometimes or many times in a chart, Rahu and Ketu both end up aspecting a particular planet. Because even though Rahu and Ketu are on opposite sides of every chart, but based on this kind of an analysis, based on Rashi Drishti, they both might end up aspecting a planet. And we shall see that in case studies. Some special considerations to see. Point number 6. Gemini focuses on sign-to-sign influence, not degrees. Even if planets are far apart within the Rashi, they still aspect through Rashi Drishti. The same thing which I spoke of earlier. The only thing angles or degrees is considered is from Atma Karaka to Dhara Karaka. The 7 Karakas is based on angle. What is your Atma Karaka? What is your Amadhya Karaka? What is your Bhratri Karaka? And so on. That considers the angle. But the sign-to-sign influence is very dominant here. Even if one is sitting in 12th house and one is sitting in 3rd house, for example, if the signs are influencing, the planets in those signs also are influencing one another. See, all this gets very complex unless we do some case studies, isn't it? So we shall do that from now on. 7th point, unlike the Parashari system, Gemini does not use special aspects like Saturn's 3rd or 10th position or Jupiter's 5th or 9th position. Those are Parashara rules. Gemini system does not use these rules of aspecting. It only considers sign aspect and planets therefore placed in those signs. Aspects, last rule, number 8, aspects are applied heavily in Charadasha analysis. If you want to do your predictive analysis, they interpret again based on this sign and interpreting the Karaka planets, Amartya Karaka, Atma Karaka, and so on, all the 7 Karakas of Gemini. So we shall do analysis this way going forward. Let us begin. Now let's do the career case study for Ishita, another girl from the Gen Z category, born after 1998. I think this is year 2000 or something. So if you're a Gen Z girl, you might be interested in learning about these principles of Vedic astrology, right? Let's get into it. On the screen, you have the natal chart with highlighted portions of aspects to Amartya Karaka, the moon in this case. What happens when moon becomes Amartya Karaka? Also, always see the Amartya Karaka relationship with the Atma Karaka, hers being Saturn. Now remember, I told you in Saturn as Amartya Karaka, it is more concerned with masses, the underdog, doing something for the masses. So is the moon. So in quality terms, both Atma Karaka, Amartya Karaka conjoin here and they want to do something for the masses. Okay. So let us go one by one. On your right side is the table of analysis. Moon is Amartya Karaka. What is the core professional drive? Moon represents emotions, nurturing, intuition, public connection, masses. Everything to do with masses, foods, liquids, psychology, even travel and adaptability. Because Moon is a highly adaptable planet, right? It's a very fickle planet, if you want to call it that. Lots of emotional fluctuations. So you might also say profession is driven by emotional moodiness. There is a signature there. Professional orientation is community-centered professions, counseling, psychology, healthcare and hospitality, travel and tourism, food and beverage industry, property, real estate, because it's a 4,000 lot traditionally, so property and real estate, and public-facing roles, if there is such a indication. These are all generics, by the way. Attitude, one becomes of caring, sensitive, very emotional attachment to work, if it's Amartya Karaka. Profession often includes dealing with people's needs or emotional currents. Okay, so where is it placed in our chart? Let us do this natal chart analysis. Moon is conjunct Ketu in the 10th house in Scorpio. So many things it tells right there, isn't it? So the Amatya Karaka moon in this case, the profession is tied to some deep research. Ketu is very research-like, especially exalted in Scorpio. So research about what exactly? It is being aspected from Jupiter in Cancer, again exalted, but in the 6th house. Jupiter is an advisor, doesn't do very well in the 6th house. 6th house is a house of grind work, daily work. So Jupiter from 6th house, I will even take some nakshatra tips here. It is in Pushya nakshatra, so it becomes one of more of teacher, very strong teacher of some kind. Teaching line, advisory line, okay? This becomes daily advisors, consultants of some kind who have a research-like ability to carry out in their field. Hidden knowledge, wealth of others could be another theme, wealth of local masses. Also, like I said, see the relationship with Atma Karaka, which in her case is Saturn conjunct Rahu in the 4th house. Although this is not from Gemini point of view aspecting directly, it is still in the 4th house, it is still Atma Karaka conjunct Rahu. And which is looking at, from the Parashara point of view, it is directly looking at Moon and Ketu in the opposite house. So there is an element of a silent support for the soul and the career path involved. So your soul wants to do the work for the masses because Atma Karaka is sitting in the 4th house and amplified by Rahu. So there is a deep drive for the soul to work something in the field of finance because it has gone into Taurus, gathering of resources, sign number 2. Also, the lord of the 4th house, the dispositor of the 4th house is sitting in the ascendant. Venus is in the ascendant in Aquarius, so something to do with technology they might be using to bring it to finance related work. And consulting line, Jupiter in the 6th house, which is aspecting Moon and Ketu. And Ketu, one of the things it stands for is deep research, a micro examination of things, finances. That might be one of the indicators here. Let's go through the list and see if it gives us a hint. Alright. Analysis says, placement in the 10th house in Scorpio emphasizes professions, recognition and authority. Moon here makes the career strongly public facing with emotional connection to work. Like I said, Moon makes a emotion very strong at workplace. At the same time, Ketu detaches it, by the way. Scorpio adds intensity, transformation and secrecy. So anything related to secrecy, going behind the scenes, is Ketu. And in terms of work, because it is conjunct Amatya Karaka, your profession may involve doing something behind the scenes. Deep investigative work. Like psychology, like research, like investigation. Okay? Conjunction with Ketu creates a detachment from emotion, kind of spiritualizes the quality of Moon itself, indicates careers linked to psychology, research, mysticism, occult or behind the scenes. Occult, is there a possibility? Let us see. Lord of the 8th is sitting in the 2nd. Sort of. Pisces, not so much. Where is the Lord of the 10th house sitting? This is just a sideline examination. Lord of the 10th house sitting in the 11th, which is to do with more multinational companies. So she might be working more with multinational companies in the finance investigation line because Saturn is sitting in the 4th house, is the Atma Karaka. Remember, Atma Karaka is as important as Amatya Karaka in career investigation. We are just doing case study for Amatya Karaka as the baseline, but always see the Atma Karaka. It will drive you there. So I see more along finance rather than things of psychology, research and that kind of thing. Because other planets are not supporting here. Jupiter from the 6th brings teaching and guidance and service related elements into the profession. Later years she might be even doing teaching in her own line after she specializes. Strong link to advisory, educational and caregiving roles, because Jupiter is aspecting Moon. So there might be caregiving roles also involved. Now let's see Navamsha and what it brings. Now on the screen now is Navamsha. So let's see her Navamsha, and the picture changes quite drastically. So this girl might shift into something very different post 30 years of age. That's when Navamsha kicks in typically. So what happened to her Amartya Karaka in Navamsha? It went into the second house in Aquarius. Moon in Aquarius, if you remember from my Aquarius Navamsha series, it's more of food bloggers on Instagram, fine dine people, cafes and restaurants. They're attracted towards everything to do with camera because Rahu is camera. So they want to show off food. Moon is food. Showing off on Instagram, showing off on Facebook. Instagram more, because this is a Gen Z category. They use Instagram more than Facebook, isn't it? So let's see what it brings. That Moon in second house in Aquarius in Navamsha is aspected by Venus and Mercury in Libra in the 10th house. You see the highlighted portion in the 10th house. So something relating to career is being influenced from Mercury and Venus. One Mercury. What is Mercury? Communication, all kinds of communication. Both are in Swati Nakshatra even. So Mercury and Venus combined in Libra, Venus is exalted, meaning she will use a lot of passion, a lot of creativity, a lot of aesthetics, a lot of sense of refinement of beauty. Venus refines the Moon. Moon is the raw form, Venus is the refined form. So Venus aspecting Moon in her career, she will bring refinements to food industry. She will talk about it a lot. Mercury, communicate it. Mercury in Libra will want to communicate it with the masses. So suddenly she's gone from a Moon Ketu kind of hidden environment. Okay, she's maybe working as a food blogger from her home, maybe even a fine dine chef working behind the scenes, but she will capture what she is cooking from a camera. So it satisfies the Moon Ketu in the natal as well as the Navamsha. See, Navamsha is still the internal self and manifesting as external reality later on in life, this as the soul grows post 30 years of age. Natal chart has to tally with it, how you are doing it, what style it will manifest. That's natal. Okay, back to Venus and Mercury in Libra. So Venus combined with Mercury in the 10th house of profession, she will bring these qualities to the profession. Very good in talking nicely, very good in presentation of herself on camera to others. Libra is a sign of others. What value system she wants to change, she can change that. Libra Navamsha, if you remember from the Navamsha series of Amartya Karaka, always gives new perspective. They will change the choices of the public, ability to change the opinion of the masses. This is powerful, isn't it? In regards to what? In regards to the food, because Amartya Karaka is still Moon. So she might influence fine dining. She might even be a chef. Why do I say chef? Look at the Atma Karaka. Atma Karaka is conjunct Sun. Saturn is conjunct Sun, Mars as well as Ketu in the 6th sign of Virgo, daily work in the 9th house. So there is an element of daily work involved, and when Sun and Mars are involved, professionally speaking, it involves kitchens, it involves cutting, chef, daily work. It might involve that. So she might end up becoming a chef, a fine dine chef, as a conclusion I'm saying. Also, Jupiter in Scorpio in the 11th, she wants to influence the masses at a deeper level. She might be teaching about cooking. You know, all these channels on YouTube which people come and ladies come and teach you cooking, different kinds of things depending on cultures and countries. That might be another profession she might be interested in later. But let's see the analysis as it tells here, which is very typical. Second house ties career to speech, wealth, family resources, values, also food. Moon here suggests roles involving in communication, finance, advising or nurturing through speech and knowledge. Like I said, fine dining means it doesn't happen silently, isn't it? You have to talk something. Moon in Aquarius wants passionately to talk about food. Communicate. Venus plus Mercury in the 10th from Libra. Looking at that moon, Venus emphasizes creativity, refinement in public image, careers in arts, beauty, diplomacy, counseling or finance. Finance could be another thing I would think. See how contradictory the careers can be. On the one hand, I said fine dining chef. On the other hand, it could be finance. Why? Because Atmakaraka Saturn is conjunct Sun, Mars and Ketu in the 9th house, in the sign of Virgo, that is banking and finance. So Atmakaraka, Amatyakaraka are not aspecting in the Vamsha. There is no direct vision. At the same time, it is suggestive of a profession. Mercury adds intellect, communication, teaching in business strategy, because Venus and Mercury both are adding to that Libra in the 10th house. She will bring that energy in the 10th house anyway, later on in life. That's a given. What's curious to play out will be whether she'll be in banking and finance or whether she'll become a food blogger. Maybe both. Maybe changing professions also, because Moon and Ketu together are in the 10th house in Natal. Remember, Ketu will keep breaking professions till you find your soul path. Now let's conclude her chart. Conclusions now. Correlation of Natal and Navamsha. So the tabulated form is on the left, both the Natal and Navamsha charts on the right. Let's go. Correlation of Natal and Navamsha. D1 says public, professional, emotionally intense, detached, Moon with Ketu. Suggests psychology, hidden dimensions, access to that in profession. Okay, when Moon with Ketu comes in, there is an access to that, and that element they bring to the profession doesn't necessarily determine the direct professional attitude. Okay, Navamsha stabilizes roles into involving communication, finance, advisory or service roles. Like I said, it can be banking also. Intellectual and creative dimensions supported by Venus and Mercury. Venus and Mercury aspecting the Amatyakaraka Moon in the second in Aquarius, like we just saw. Combined view, Ishita begins the transformative or emotionally intense public roles, matures into stable advisory, teaching, finance or social service careers, balancing intellect, creativity and empathy. Challenges are conjunct Ketu, which will keep cutting you off from the job. Keep cutting you off from your own emotions or emotions of the masses. Unconventional career shifts, more like research into food blogging. It's a strange profession, but yeah, it's there. Moon in Scorpio, intense emotions, potential volatility, secrecy in professional dealings, doing behind the scenes work. Moon and Ketu intent in Scorpio. Aquarius Navamsha struggles balancing idealism with practicalities of career. Aquarius is just needing popularity. Okay, it wants fame at all costs. Without that fame or recognition in public, Aquarius Natal is very frustrated. Remember that. So in her career path, as a result of this constant seeking of fame, an Aquarius rising in the Natal will always seek for something to do with the masses. Always. So you should always see where the Lord of the first house is, sitting in the fourth house with Rahu. Further amplification. Both the Lord and the co-Lord of the ascendant in Natal is sitting in the fourth house, aspected by Moon and Ketu Amatyakaraka, definitely working something for the masses relating to food resources, Taurus, right? Food resources and so on. And so that element is definitely there, needs to ground. Success indicators, Moon in 10th ensures visibility and public connection. I wouldn't necessarily say that, because Ketu detaches. Ketu wants to hide. It wants nothing to do with public. Strong Navamsha placement, Venus plus Mercury in the 10th. Eventual stability and authority, well, she might make a lot of money, because it's Venus and Mercury sitting in the sign of Libra in the 10th, she might make a lot of money because of food blogging more. Or she might also be working in banking and finance, but that will be in the background. If she wants public visibility, follow me careful here. If she wants public visibility like she does, because Aquarius is in the ascendant in the natal, she will want to do something with the food blogging industry or fine dine, mainly food blogging, because Moon is in Aquarius in second, using her speech, which is refined by Venus and Mercury, which is aspecting it. This is her surest path to wealth, fame, and everything that she desires in physical manifestation. That's my conclusion. Okay, you can read through the rest of the stuff. Leave your comments if you're finding something else interesting. But this is where I see her path going. Take care, be safe.